acacia or shittim wood. Undoubtedly, the use of shittim wood in the construction of the tabernacle and its furniture was to keep it light and portable. However, the fact that Jehovah so particularly specified shittim wood, Exodus 25, verses 10 and 23, Exodus 26, verses 15 and 32, Exodus 27, verses 1 and 6, Exodus 30, verse 1, leads us to wonder as to whether there might not also be some reason beyond the merely utilitarian that was here divinely intended. We believe, though we've been unable to find it anywhere so stated, that the shittah tree from which this wood was obtained was, in some sense of the word, an evergreen. In Isaiah 41:19, it is listed among other evergreen trees, the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, the fir tree, and the pine tree, and the box tree. If this is a correct thought, then the tree was among those which did not pass through the cycle of life and death every spring and autumn, year after year. However, this much has been definitely established. Its wood was virtually incorruptible, and insects did not attack it. Is there then not here the suggestion of everlasting life, though mortal life? That is, mortality? By mortality, we mean that state or condition wherein death is a possibility, though not necessarily a probability. We do not here refer to that state or condition in which man was born, in sin, unjustified. For such a man is already dead. But to one having been justified by faith, and who therefore enjoys a faith restitution, and may be considered as possessing mortality, if for no other reason than that of having something acceptable to lay down in sacrifice. Says Brother Russell, in Zion's Watchtower, page 4554, column 2, paragraph 2, the death of Christ is the basis of all reconciliation to God by actual restitution during the millennium, or by faith restitution for sacrificing now. If this is a correct thought, then the use of the shittim wood as a basic material in the construction of the altars, the table of the showbread, and the Ark of the Covenant seems almost imperative. First of all, let us consider the altar of burnt offering, which stood in the court, and which Brother Russell suggested represented the ransom sacrifice of Christ Jesus. See Tabernacle Shadows, page 22, paragraph 1. Though the doctrine of the ransom is the most basic tenet of the Christian faith, there is perhaps none that is less clearly understood. Many fail to recognize that the term ransom implies an exact correspondency between that which is to be ransomed and that which ransoms. It is true, in common usage, this thought is rarely associated with the term. To wit, one army general may be the ransom price for a whole regiment of common soldiers, or $20,000 may be the ransom price for one kidnapped child. In the biblical sense, however, the thought of an exact correspondency is most certainly implied. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, Leviticus 24, verse 20, but see also Genesis 9, verse 6. Since Adam, a perfect man, had sinned, and therefore had been condemned to death, only another perfect man could ransom him from the power of death and the grave. The Apostle Paul states it ever so clearly when he declares, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, but not as the offense, so also the free gift. For if through the offense of one man many be dead, much more the grace of God, which is by one man, Christ Jesus hath abounded unto many. Romans 5, verses 12 to 15. If the so-called orthodox view were correct, Jesus could not have given himself a ransom for Adam, for it is claimed that his becoming the man was merely an incarnation, a putting on of the flesh by him, who being God was divine and an immortal being, and therefore could not possibly really die. Surely that which is inherently immortal cannot die. This would make the death of the man Christ Jesus on Calvary's cross a mere farce. Nor could a divine being, a God, give himself an exact corresponding price for a mortal man. No, not even an angel, though these too are mortal. It required a man for a man. Undoubtedly, God, in his wisdom and foreknowledge, was able to anticipate the erroneous views of orthodoxy and so established in the types of old pictures to reflect the truth, which was in due time to be so clearly set forth in the New Testament, but which would be so generally misunderstood or completely ignored. Copper, as Brother Russell also suggested, represented human nature in its perfection. Tabernacle Shadows, page 18, near the top of the page. Which no angel nor other creature save man ever could have possessed. Mortality, the state or condition in which death is possible, is common to other creatures besides man. As if to show that he, who would give himself a ransom for Adam and his race, would be a man, that is, not an angel, nor any other being or creature, and therefore mortal, God seems to have specified that the altar of burnt offering should be made of shittim wood overlaid with copper. Here we have mute testimony which says that the perfect humanity, copper of Christ Jesus, was identified with mortality, shittim wood, a corroboration of that New Testament doctrine which teaches that it was the man Christ Jesus that gave himself a ransom for all. 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6. By faith in this doctrine, the ransom sacrifice of Christ Jesus, the altar of burnt offering, one enters the court condition and in faith progresses toward the door of the holy. Here, by way of consecration, he is begotten to a new hope and a corresponding new nature in which he remains until passing the second veil, he enters the most holy, the spirit-born condition. The present, in part, see 1 Corinthians 13, verses 9 and 10, condition represented by the holy of the ancient tabernacle is for the saint of God the place of his spiritual growth and development. Here he receives the enlightenment from the golden candlestick. Here he is fed by the bread of presence from the golden table, and in this light and strength he is privileged to offer incense at the golden altar. The light from the candlestick and the bread of presence both represent those deeper aspects of God's word which are so essential to the well-being of the new creature. Yet all this is his only in hope, the hope to which he has been begotten, and which hope is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Hebrews 6, verse 19. And what is it that lies beyond the veil? Is it not the realization of the glorious hope that someday this perishable puts on in the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54 in the Revised Standard Version, but see also Weymouth. And death is swallowed up of victory? Is it strange, then, that this glorious hope, which causes one to purify himself, 1 John 3, verse 3, is reflected in the articles of furniture placed in the holy of the typical tabernacle, the table and the incense altar were made of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Death is still a possibility while we tarry in the in-part condition, and will be until it is swallowed up of that victory which shall be ours if we remain faithful unto death. Beyond the veil stood the Ark of the Covenant, and it also was made of shittim wood overlaid with gold. We do not have reference to the lid. Its being placed in the Most Holy, beyond the veil, was intended to show what the Church would inherit in passing beyond the veil of death. Thus did the Ark represent the glorified Church, no longer living in hope of attaining the glory, the honor, and the immortality. But having attained it, possessing it, the perishable will have put on the imperishable, and the mortal will have put on immortality. Death will have been swallowed up. It will no longer be a possibility. We have already made reference to the fact that shittim wood is not attacked by insects, but it is also worthy of note that shittim wood is aromatic, that is, scented. He who is no longer dead in trespasses and sin, and whose fleshly existence is now identified with Jesus, Galatians 2 verse 20, Philippians 1 verse 21, 2 Corinthians 4 verses 9 and 10, Colossians 1 verse 24, radiates a sweet fragrance, a benign influence upon all whom he comes in contact with. For like Jesus, he will be seeking always to be doing those things that please the Heavenly Father. John 8 verse 29. Surely he will be doing good unto all men as he has opportunity. Galatians 6 verse 10. And such a fragrance as this is never identified with the old condemned dead man. Thus is shittim wood fragrant. Perhaps it is also that which makes the shittim wood fragrant that protects it against the onslaughts of insects. This much is certain, that he who possesses mortality because of his identification with Christ Jesus will find that it is that same indwelling spirit by which the sweet benign influence emanate from him toward all men that protects him against the onslaughts of these destructive evils, quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, gossip, conceit, and disorder. See 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20 in the Revised Standard Version. Also worthy of note is it that in the Septuagint, the Hebrew shittah is rendered by a Greek word which means incorruptible wood.